John chapter 1 in your Bibles, and we'll read in verse 43. If you'll stand with me for the in honor of God's word, if you're able to, that would be a great thing. We stand for the American flag. We ought to stand for God's word. Amen. So if you are able to do so, I'd like to encourage you to stand in honor of God's word. That'd be great. John chapter 1, verse 43. The Bible says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, to Philip, he said it to Philip, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I want you to think about God's knowledge this morning. We're in our series, Stories from the Life of Christ. And for the most part, when we started this, we began chronologically, and then we've been inserting some things here and there, just kind of maybe one story is connected with another one in maybe what was taught. And so we didn't purposely stay chronological. But for the most part, that's what's happening. And but today I want you to consider the thought of God's knowledge. And what I mean is God's knowledge of you. So the title of this message today is What God Knows About You. What God Knows About You. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your word. Thank you for the power of your word, the truths that are found therein. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things about us. You're omniscient and you're all-knowing. And so, Lord, I thank you for the fact that not only are you knowing of our lives, but you are capable of handling every single detail of our lives. So I don't know the needs this morning, but I ask that you'd meet them because you know them. And Lord, that you would help us to be sensitive to how we respond to how you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. One of the blessings about camp is, first of all, we had a lot of fun, and we did. We had a blast. So my voice is a little wore out. I'm also having some of these recurring things from my lungs a long time ago, and so they're struggling a little bit, so be patient with me today. Not sick. It's not a sickness. Okay, it's nothing contagious. It's just that. Anyways, but we had fun, and so my voice got wore out. Another blessing about camp is literally, it's like God knew when that camp location was started, you know, when they found it before cell phones, that you wouldn't be able to get cell service there. And it's a huge blessing because you no longer have teenagers walking around going like this everywhere they go, you know, constantly, just faces buried in their phones, and adults as well. Come on, adults, admit it. And so it's a blessing. It's a blessing. They know ahead of time that we would ask them to turn their phones in anyways, but even if they decided to sneak their phones and their luggage and not turn it into us, it won't do them any good because you can't get any data. There's a few spots that a few of us secretly know where those spots are. And so if kids need to call home, we let them do so. If parents want to talk to their kids, we let them do that, obviously. But that is a huge blessing. And it's no secret that every year the world becomes more technologically advanced. We've got the internet at our fingertips. No matter how advanced our technology may be, our means of finding, my wife and I do this often where we get in a little, we don't ever argue, okay? Never do we argue. We just might have a different perspective on a subject than the other person might have. And so to prove our perspective, what do? We bust out Google and we say, Google it. You know, is strawberry, is what's the difference between jam and jelly? You know, that's the one that sticks out. And I was right. So we have this access where just at our fingertips, we can find information. But even in situations like that, our information is still limited, isn't it? And men and women are simply incapable of knowing everything that there is to know. Perhaps one of the most defining characteristics of our God that sets him apart from mankind is his omniscience. God knows all things. He knows everything there is to know, doesn't he? Nothing escapes him. Nothing surprises him. He not only knows all things that are happening now, he knows all things that have happened and all things that will happen. Nothing comes to him as a surprise. Psalm 139 is very clear about the details that God knows. He knows our downsittings. He knows our uprisings. He understands our thoughts afar off. And we can't escape him. We can't run from him. We can't hide from him. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that the darkness is light unto him. He sees all. He knows all. He knows what you're thinking right now. So start thinking happy thoughts about me instead of negative thoughts about me. All right? Or whatever else is going on in your mind. He knows. He knows everything about us. That fact is significant because it teaches us that although Jesus became a man, he was still God. Right? Now, we know God knows everything, but now we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, who is God. And although he became a man, he was still God. Every moment he walked on the face of the earth, he was still God. 100% God, 100% man, God in human flesh, he was the eternal one. He could discern the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. Only God has this kind of knowledge. Satan does not have this kind of knowledge. Only God does. And our passage in Scripture today takes us to a time in the earlier days of Christ's ministry. He'd been baptized and he'd begun teaching already. He had already begun preaching. And he's calling out a man here named Philip in John 1:43 and says, follow me, like he said to other disciples. He said, follow me. And to follow Christ, to go where he went, it meant so much more than to go on a journey down a dirt road and go in the same direction as him and just kind of travel with Jesus. It meant more than that. Following Christ meant following him not in just physically, but following him spiritually, following him emotionally, following him in the manner of believing that he was who he claimed to be. Following Christ means following him in understanding that he is all who he says he is. He's all who he claims to be. Those who followed Christ had to to turn from other avenues, to turn from other ways of life, to turn from other beliefs, to turn from sin. Following Christ meant going where he goes. And so if he goes this way, I'm going to go this way. If he goes this way, I'm going to go this way. If I want to go this way and he goes this way, I'm going to follow him and go this way. That's following. Again, I said it a few weeks ago. I've said it multiple times. Following somebody is not going the same direction that they're going and you're behind them. That's not what following is. If they're already going to Walmart and you're going to Walmart, you're not following them. You're already going there. It's when you're following somebody and you wanted to go to Walmart, but they wanted to go to Dylan's, but you want to go to Walmart. But if you're following somebody, you're going to go where they go. Following Christ means following him, maybe in a direction you don't want to go. Maybe in a way that you want to go. And the day that Jesus said to Philip, follow me, Philip did. Philip followed him. And since he began following Christ and many others at that time, a handful of others, millions have joined. Millions have, since that day to today, have said, Lord, I choose to follow you. The song we sang, I did not tell Brother Glenn to pick that song. He had no idea what I was preaching on, but we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Is that your heart? Is that your desire? If he leads you in a difficult area, you're going to follow him. If he leads you where things aren't exactly crossing your T's and dotting your I's, you're going to follow him. Are you going to follow the Lord? One of the characteristics of a true follower of Jesus is that they want others to follow Christ too. And that's what Philip wanted. He went to Nathanael, found his friend, and told him about Jesus Christ. Verse 45 says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I want you to think about some co-workers. I want to get through this first part quickly because I really want to get to Jesus addressing Nathanael. But there's some things I think we need to set the stage to understand the context we've got to realize here in the first part of this story regarding Philip coming to Nathanael and Nathanael's conversation with Philip about any good thing coming out of Nazareth, and before Jesus even addresses Philip. Before we do, I want you to think about maybe some co-workers, some family members, some friends, a neighbor who doesn't know Christ, who needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Because if you're a follower of Christ, then he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It ought to be our desire to seek and to save that which was lost as well. How many of you, by raising your right hand, know somebody who's not saved? Yeah. If you know somebody, then you know somebody who's not saved. There's people all over the place. It ought to be your desire to lead them to Jesus. But Nathanael did respond. Eventually, Nathanael became a very close disciple of Jesus Christ. But there are some things that happened first before that, of how he turned to Christ, of how he became a follower of Christ. Notice that Philip said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Notice how Philip talked to him about the Messiah. Philip specifically mentioned the writings of Moses and the prophets. It's important, witnesses, that we understand if we're going to be effective and that when we try to tell something about Jesus, listen, it's important to understand. And I really want to get through this part quickly, but I also don't want to ignore an important truth that we see right here in the story, that he used truths from Scripture to talk to Philip. I mean, it's important that we, to be an effective witness, that we use Scripture while talking to people about Jesus Christ. You can try to logically explain it to them. You can try to answer their questions that they have. Well, if this happened, then this, you know, and whatever. But if all you give people is your opinion, then you're not giving them a good enough reason to trust Christ, because God's Word is what motivates and what moves the hearts of men, not our opinions. And I noticed that I think it might have turned out a little bit differently if Philip wouldn't have mentioned Moses and the prophets and the law of whom they did. He said, we found the one the Bible's talking about, Jesus of Nazareth. And I think Philip might have responded a little bit differently. Maybe he wouldn't have responded at all. Yeah, I've heard that before. Oh yeah, we've had others who people thought were the Messiah. But Nathanael, even though Philip did that, Nathanael did not immediately accept the word that Philip gave him. Nathanael was cautious. He did respond to Philip and eventually became a follower, but he was cautious right here. He was cautious and was kind of hesitant. Perhaps the main reason that he was cautious at first, even though Philip used the scriptural connection, is that maybe he didn't have a favorable impression upon Nazareth. In fact, he said that right there. He said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Why did Philip say that? If you know anything about Nazareth, Nazareth was kind of a crossroads in the area. It wasn't like Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was an important city, and a lot of Jews came to Jerusalem. But when it came to Nazareth, Nazareth was an area where a lot of Roman soldiers would come. A lot of foreigners would come through. It was an important trade route of Palestine. And there was a main road north of there that led to Decapolis. It was a road that Roman legions traveled through. So the reputation, it was a military town, and it was, do we know anything about that? And it was a merchant area. It added to the reputation of Nazareth that it was a wicked and immoral place. People that knew of Nazareth knew it was not one of those places you'd go to get spiritually refreshed and enlightened and get close to God. No, you went to Jerusalem for things like that. They would say, there was a popular saying that if you want to be rich, go to Nazareth. But if you want wisdom, go to Jerusalem. And so from Nathanael's point of view, no prophet would come from Nazareth. In his mind, the Messiah would have to come from somewhere else. Those that came from Nazareth, those that were in Nazareth, they were not expected to be those individuals who were right with God. Oh, there's so much application here. Because there's a lot of, I mean, we just came from camp, and there's a lot of teenagers who might have in their mentality and they're thinking that, well, I go to a public school and how am I going to be able to be a spiritual witness and an effect on other people at school because it's so wicked there. That's how people looked at Nazareth. But I have seen God use teenagers in public school. I have seen people from public school come to church and get saved. Hey, we've had a few recently get saved here in our youth group at Northwest Baptist Church. And I've seen people who work in a wicked workplace be a witness and a testimony and tell others about Christ. You can be used of God wherever you're at. Nathanael's mindset was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip, how did he respond to Nathanael? Did he argue his point? Did he remind him maybe of other people in the Bible who came from wicked places, but they were servants of God? I mean, he could have done that. No, this is how he responded. This is how he responded. He said these words, "Come and see." Just come and see. Philip or Nathanael, trust me. Come check it out. Come and see. Hey, you need to do that with your loved ones, with your friends. Witness to them. Tell them about Christ. They make an argument. Maybe they won't listen to you, but maybe you might be able to get them to come to church. Come and see. Now, I believe in trying Jesus. I believe in trusting Jesus. But just try to get him. He didn't try to argue the points and reason with him. When you witness to somebody who seems cynical at first, rather than getting an argument, sometimes the best thing you can do is just tell of what Christ has done for you. Here's what Jesus did for me. Invite them to see what Jesus has done in the lives of people. No religion has the internal or external evidences that Christianity has. No religion, what I'm saying is this, I'm saying Jesus changed my life. No religion changed my life, Jesus changed my life. Can you have that same testimony? Has he changed your life? And when you invite people to come and see, you're giving them the chance to see how Christianity is different from anything else they've seen before. And I think maybe perhaps that if Philip would have tried to argue with Nathanael, maybe Nathanael would put up a wall of defense. But rather than become defensive, Nathanael became curious. All right, I'll come and see. He wanted to see this man named Jesus. And when he saw him, he found out Jesus had already seen him. I love it. When Nathanael came to Jesus to see Jesus, he found out Jesus had already seen him a long time ago. It says in verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Omniscience means all-knowing. That's what it means. And it's an attribute of God. Nobody, we said it earlier, nobody but God knows everything. Say amen so I can move on. All right? And contrary to the teachings of other groups, contrary to what others may say, Jesus was not just another man. He was not just some prophet or some wise person. He was the God-man, God in the flesh. There's an article written in New York Times by Thomas Friedman. It's called this, The Whole World is Watching. There were some girls on the street. They were doing something for TikTok or something along those lines. And they had a phone on the bus bumper. And I went out there and I asked them not to use our bus for their dance party. But some people were like, oh, come on, why not? Well, you probably wouldn't want somebody touching your car, you know, things like that. So I just asked them, kindly asked them, hey, you know, go have your fun somewhere else. I'm glad you're having fun, but go somewhere else. Anyways, and they were up there, and I could see, I mean, social media was pretty important to them. And that's what this article was all about. The premise of the article was that anyone can post whatever they wish on social media. He said everyone is a publisher. You know, everybody's got a cell phone with a camera on it, and it just takes a moment. They can upload the video to YouTube or whatever other social media platform there is. And he said, when everyone is a publisher or paparazzi or filmmaker, everyone else is a public figure. And the idea is that we've got to be, the idea he was making is that we've got to be careful about the way we act because anybody could be recording our actions. And people have been dragged through the mud because somebody else has recorded their actions and posted it on social media platforms. And some of them, their lives or reputations have been hurt tremendously as a result of those things. He also said we need to be careful about what we say because anybody could post our words on a social media site. He said nobody truly has complete privacy because anyone can be a publisher. He said there's always somebody watching. But as Christians, we've known for years, haven't we, that there is always somebody watching us. Right? I'm talking about God. We know that the Lord sees everything and that we can never hide anything from Him. He sees all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, the Bible says. He knows all that's going on in our lives. And even if you've been saved for a short amount of time, you've probably already learned that the all-knowing God in our passage, the all-knowing God in our lives has worked on our hearts about certain things. You felt convicted when you know you shouldn't be doing that. He's knocked on your heart's door saying, hey, you know you shouldn't be doing that, or you know you need to be faithful. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's evidence of our salvation, by the way, too. I'm a child of God, and he's gonna correct his child. He knows all things. We see Nathanael learning for the first time that Jesus, as God in the flesh, possesses the same attributes of omniscience as God. He learned that Jesus is God. Jesus knew exactly who Nathanael was. He understood his heart. Nathanael is now learning who Jesus is. Our Lord knows the hearts of every man. Two main things I really want you to get. Point out the points I went through, but there's a couple I want to make heavy emphasis on. And the first one is this, he knows your heart. He knows your heart. God knows your heart. Young person, teenager, child, mom, dad, wife, husband, man, woman. God knows your heart. He said of Nathanael as he was coming to him, he said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Jesus has the ability to perceive the hearts of all men. And when we meet Nathanael, he knew Nathanael was sincere. Nathanael was spiritually lost, but he was sincerely looking for the truth. And he was not deceitful or seeking his own personal gain. He knew Nathanael was a sinner, just as we all are, and he was looking for answers. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, listen, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. God says about you that you've gone astray. He knows your heart. He knows who's sincerely looking for him. And he knows who's not. He knows who's taking this Christianity thing seriously, and he knows who's not. He knows what's going on in your heart when you're at church. He knows what's going on in your heart when you're at school, when you're at home. And he knows all of these things, and he said of Nathanael some pretty good things about him. And he wanted Nathanael to understand that he knew him. You understand, not only does God know you, but he wants you to understand that he knows you. That's a good thing. Listen, that's a good thing. Say, nobody understands me. God does. Right? Nobody knows what I'm feeling. God does. Nobody knows what I'm going through. God does. Nobody understands my hurt. God does. Nobody understands how lonely I am. You're not alone. If you're saved, God is with you. See, when I'm alone, he's not ignoring me. I'm ignoring him. If I feel alone, it's because I secluded myself. I'm ignoring him. Jesus, I think about Nicodemus and how Jesus knew Nicodemus was seeking him. Nicodemus chapter 3, we're not going to, or John chapter 3 about Nicodemus. I just added a book to the Bible. I said Nicodemus chapter 3. That's not in there. John chapter 3, a story about Nicodemus. Jesus knew his heart, knew what he would need. He would eventually meet Nicodemus and knew he was genuine in his search for truth. He knew the same thing about Nathanael. Jesus knew his heart. He knows your heart too. He knows whether you have faith in him or not. He is the all-knowing God. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. His knowledge has no limits, and that includes his knowledge of you. He is not limited. You can't hide anything from God. And you might be carrying heavy burdens on your heart this morning. You might be facing something today, feeling like nobody understands, but your all-knowing Savior not only loves you so much that he would die to save you, but he loves you enough to carry your burdens for you. Even the burdens that nobody else knows about, even the hard times you're going through, somebody died, he knows your burdens, he wants to carry your burdens. Somebody has hurt your feelings, he knows your burdens. Somebody has betrayed you, he knows your burdens. You're going through financial situations, he knows your burdens. He knows your health situations. And he loves you, but not only does he love you, he knows those things. And he's capable of helping you with those situations in your life. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You should write this down if you don't know this verse. You should write this down. Look at it later. Look at it this afternoon, 28 through 30 of Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He knows the heart of man. But I want you to notice the second thing. Not only does he know your heart, but he knows the location of man. He knows where you are. He knows where you are. Look at verse 48 of John chapter 1. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. What was he doing on the fig tree? Contemplating something. We don't know. But Jesus knew. Right? Nathanael was under the fig tree. What was he doing? Don't know exactly. But Jesus knew. Nathanael was surprised because he had never met Jesus, but Jesus knew his heart and Jesus knew where he was. And Jesus knew what he was contemplating under the fig tree. God always sees us. God always knows us. And he sees us when we're contemplating anything under our fig tree, under our problems. He knows what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. He sees all things. He just knows, doesn't he? He knows. Have you been under a fig tree lately? Jesus saw Nathanael under that tree, knew his need. He sees you wherever you are, and he knows your needs. He knows where you are spiritually. He knows what weighs on your mind. Go to Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139. Verse 1. Would you read this out loud with me? We don't normally do this in a service like this, but we'll read verses 1 through 4. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. Ready, begin. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Jeremiah 16:17 says this, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Imagine the Lord meeting you. Imagine you're Nathanael. The Lord meets you. Physically, he shows up and he tells you what you were thinking. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? That would get your attention. Okay, you have my attention now. You knew what I was thinking. That's pretty amazing. Got Nathanael's attention. That led to a change in his beliefs. Jesus gave Nathanael every opportunity to trust and follow him. I want you to understand this morning, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, he has given you every opportunity to trust him and believe in him for salvation. He has worked out circumstances for you to hear the clear presentation of the Word of God so you can know he died on the cross for your sins and he rose again the third day, and he conquered sin and death. He has given you every opportunity to be saved. He has. Say, how do you know that? Well, you just heard the gospel just now. If you will put your faith and trust in him and call upon him to be your Savior, the Bible promises salvation to all who believe. He has given you every opportunity to be saved. Nathanael answered, verse 49. Look at it if you would. And saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, then believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And even though Nathanael was a good man seeking the truth, here's the truth, he was still a sinner, just as all of us are. He is a sinner, just like you and just like me. The world has one problem, one rudimentary problem, and that's sin. Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. At the root of problems is some form of sin. None of us, not even the preacher, especially the preacher, none of us are exempt from sin. All of us have, we talked about it this morning, we'll talk about it again next week in the Sunday School Hour. Join us at 10 a.m. About how to have victory over sin. All of us have inherited a sin nature. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that, what? All have sinned. And as sincere as he was, Nathanael, just like everybody else, had a sin problem that only Jesus can cure. Thankfully, there's an opportunity for sinners to find forgiveness through Jesus. There's an opportunity for sinners to find forgiveness through Jesus. There's an opportunity for you to find forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you know for sure heaven is your home? Are you 100% certain? As soon as Nathanael realized Jesus knew his heart, he realized Jesus was the Son of God, he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. No one is saved without first believing that Jesus is God. There are over 1 billion Muslims in the world today following the teaching of the Quran. A lot that is taught in there, one of those things that is taught is the teaching that God had no son. The book does not deny Jesus was a person, but it does deny that there was any deity in Jesus Christ at all. For a person to follow Christ, they've got to believe in who he is, right? They have to believe in him. And for a person to follow the teachings, to have a relationship with the Lord, he needs to turn to the conviction that God indeed did have a son. His name is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again 3 days later. And if you put your faith and trust in him as your personal Lord and Savior, you can be saved. Nathanael was a sinner without a Savior, but on this day he turned to Jesus, believed in him as the Messiah. Notice what it says right there in chapter 1, verse 48, verse 49. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. If there has never been a time, listen now, I need everybody paying attention here, please. Quick, teenagers included, please pay attention here. If there has never been a time where you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, where you have put your faith and trust in him, don't delay another day. Don't delay. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask questions. You can ask questions, but those who spend their lives contemplating every religion will never find the truth that they desperately need. USA Today, this is pretty cool, had a front page article about those who escaped the World Trade Center at 9/11. How many of you remember exactly where you were at 9/11? What you were doing? After they interviewed hundreds of survivors and family members of victims, they concluded those who survived in the South Tower were those who did not delay but ran for safety immediately. When the North Tower was hit, several in the South Tower immediately began to evacuate, but some delayed. Some were looking out their windows, watching. Those in the top floors of the South Tower had just 16 and a half minutes before the United Airlines Flight 175 would tear through their building. 1,400 people in the building immediately escaped out of the South Tower. 600 did not. The majority of those killed were in the North Tower. The idea that they, or the conclusion they came to, was they found that those who delayed were the ones who did not survive. Salvation from sin is the same. Listen up, it's the same. Those who put off being saved through Jesus Christ, often wait until it's too late. When I get my life around, then I'll get serious about Christianity. When I get my life turned around, when I get things fixed, when this financial situation clears up or when whatever, then I'll get serious about Jesus and I'll start serving him. They're not understanding. The very first step is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Don't delay. We know not what a day may bring forth. Nathanael didn't wait. He did not hesitate. Once he saw that God knew him, knew everything about him, once he saw the omniscience of Jesus Christ, he believed that Jesus was God, that he was Israel's Messiah. He said, "Thou art the King of Israel." Nathanael would have known of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. He would have known about what the Old Testament said about him. And as he considered Christ, considered what the prophets had to say, he knew he was the Messiah, the King of Israel. As soon as he realized that, he put his faith and trust in Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. By addressing that, the moment everything clicked in his mind, he believed on Christ. I was saved when I was 6 years old. See, that's too young to understand all of that. I didn't understand all that. I understood this. I'm a sinner. I'm headed for hell. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I put my faith and trust in Him, called upon Him to save me from my sins. And you know what? He saved me. I was 6 years old. After I preached a message a few weeks ago, gave my testimony about my salvation, I said, I don't remember the exact day that I was saved. That afternoon, my mom goes through her files and finds a card that she wrote down and found the date and time of where it was at of when I was saved. That was a blessing to know. I don't have to have that card to know I'm saved. But it was a blessing to just be able to see that. Okay, I don't remember what it is right now. I don't know. I think it was September. I'm not sure. I was six. I know where I was. I know what I believed. Do you know where you were? Do you know what you believed when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, personal Lord and Savior? Do you know for sure heaven is your home? He that believeth on the Son of God hath life, and he that believeth not on the Son of God hath not life. Yeah. There's some other things he addressed, and I'm not going to spend time here, but he responded to Philip, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Nathanael's understanding of Christ caused him to believe. He understood who Jesus was. He believed. You know, there would eventually be 37 miracles by Christ during his ministry in this area in Canaan. But in this instant, Jesus told him of the greatest miracle, the miracle of sinners being able to go into heaven. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way," John 14:6, "the what? Truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There are not many roads to heaven. There's one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you know that road? Do you know that way? Have you put your trust in Him as your Savior? Listen, if you've been contemplating, if you've been debating in your mind about accepting Christ, if you've been contemplating, "Am I saved?" Don't delay another day. Coming to church does not give you access into heaven. Getting baptized, we had two baptized last Sunday night, we're going to have one baptized here soon, does not give you access into heaven. Being a good person does not give you access into heaven. Religion does not give you access into heaven. The Bible is clear, there's one way. That's through Jesus Christ. But the minute you put your faith in Christ, you've put your faith in the one who's conquered death, who's conquered the grave. And listen, Christian, I want you to understand this morning that the Lord knows what you're thinking. Doesn't He? He knows what's going on. He knows what permeates your mind. He came to this earth so that you might hear of Him, put your faith in Him. Aren't you thankful that when you were lost searching for answers, Christ saw you searching and allowed you to see the truth? Say amen. Yeah. Don't get over that. Never get over that. Thank God for redeeming you. But remember this. The omniscience of God doesn't end there. The all-knowing power of God does not end there. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's around the corner. He knows what you're facing. He knows what hardships you're going through right now. He knows the difficulty. He knows the trials. That's why He gives us verses like Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." He knows what you need. And so you can look to Him. He knows when you're under the fig tree. He understands you more than you understand yourself. He knows when you're hiding sin. Doesn't He? He knows when you have a little attitude about somebody. Nobody knows. Oh yeah, God knows. God knows. No friend or family member will ever know you as well as your Savior, the Lord Jesus.